What's poppin' internet? Welcome to another episode of the Synced Up Podcast, the show where we talked about news, games, sandwich, a little fun in between. I'm one of your hosts, Timothy DeRoe, and joining me this week is your boy, Michael Clare. That probably wasn't pleasant on the ears.
I don't know, maybe it was melodic.
No, it definitely wasn't.
Like, you know,
like two nails on a chalkboard.
Two nails on a chalkboard instead of just one?
Mm-hmm.
That's how you think we sound?
Yeah.
3 years and then you're just not telling me we sound like ass?
We sound like sheep.
I believe it.
Today we're going to talk about Nintendo, Zelda, Nintendo.
No.
And that's it. And Hogwarts. But that's at the back.
And I will talk at length about Double Fine production.
Oh, sure.
Because I am an advocate. I'm an ally.
Did you watch the first one?
What?
About Broken Age?
I'm going to. Not, I need a break.
We should have already done watch that.
It's like.
That came out years ago, bro.
It's like 21 hours. I didn't know. I was in deep. I liked Psychonauts back then. And then.
Have you played
I was excited
Broken
for.
Age?
No. That's I was excited game. For Psychonauts 2. And then that was one of my favorite games of all time. And then the documentary came out. I'm like, I'm just a Double Fine fan. I love this company. So I am. And I will go through the catalog of the documentary, and I am considering playing Broken Age.
It's a fantastic game.
But
it's really good.
I didn't need to play the game before I watched the documentary, but I would assume there would be spoilers because there's spoilers.
Most likely,
yeah. So,
but Broken Age is a fire ass game, bro.
We'll get there.
Point and click adventure game. Puzzle games. It's great. It's fun. It's a good fun game. Anyway, let's get right into it.
Yes, sir.
So starting off with a Nintendo Direct. Nintendo Direct happened this week, February 8th.
How did you feel going in? Were your expectations tempered?
No, they never are.
What were you expecting?
The problem is Grubb, you know? I gotta stop listening to Jeff Grubb.
Well, he was correct. It was a direct. What else did he say?
No, but, you know, he's always gassing it up with this, that, and the other. Currently, the rumor on the streets is the stuff that I did want is stuff that Nintendo is just holding in their back pocket to just drop whenever they feel like. Which, honestly, I believe.
All the stuff I want is just going to be presented on February 27th on Pokemon Day.
Sure.
So I know when I'm getting my gas. You,
but
sir.
But what if it's not all you want?
What do you mean?
What if it sucks?
It can't. Here's the deal. Unlike being a Zelda fan, being a Pokemon fan is constantly rewarding.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it rewarding or are you, like, is it actually?
Yeah.
Are you like, you're? It's like heroin addiction.
Yeah.
You're just like, you can't.
All of the above.
Your like mouth.
It might be the Pokemon a problem, tit but has, at least I'm getting hits, you know?
Sure. Are they
at
hits,
At least
though?
I'm going to play the games.
Okay, yeah, sure.
You go tell me about Tears of Kingdom and how it's not just Breath of the Wild 2.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. And should that be what we're getting? No. Yeah. Where's Odyssey 2?
Well, I mean, sure, but that's a different franchise. We still have no idea what the Mario people are working on.
A damn movie.
The team. Yeah, we have no idea.
That shocks me.
They ain't working on
they
the
got
movie.
Strong NDAs.
Yeah.
It's the Nintendo ninjas.
Yeah, I know.
They murder people.
But no, then nothing on Pokemon, or not Pokemon, Mario.
Mario.
It'll probably be some shit where it's like, the movie drops, 3 months later, they're like, oh yeah, Mario game's coming out next month.
No, we're due for like, we're due for a Shadow Mario game drop.
Yeah. Like Paper Mario, where
yeah,
you're like, oh,
yeah.
Shit, this comes out in fucking 3.5 weeks.
We're due.
Anyway, started off with Pikmin 4, July 21st, 2023. I don't know, it looks like Pikmin with better graphics, and there's a dog for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
There's Ice Pikmin now too.
Wow.
Are they gonna like retroactively add those to Smash?
I enjoyed Pikmin.
Yeah.
I'm not paying $70.
Yeah, no shot. Well, it's not all we'll get to that.
Oh.
We'll get to that. Anyway, Xenoblade Chronicles 3 expansion pass volume 3 and volume 4 were shown. Volume 3 launches on February 15th. Did you see this stuff?
No.
So
I didn't even play
so
the game.
Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Yeah.
Rex, is that his name?
Yeah, Rex.
He's in the DLC.
Canonically?
Yeah. No, he's there.
Oh.
With Shulk. It's like an Avengers moment.
And we're just casually putting this in expansion pass volume 3?
Some character named like Arvin? Arlen.
Arlen?
Something like that. You don't know?
No.
I think he's from Xenoblade 1. I know you know the Xenoblade 2 lore, but...
I played 1 and beat it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Yeah, so apparently there's like a character... So there's like... They're called like Aegises or something?
I do remember Aegis. That's,
yeah,
that's
and there's like two.
And Mithra.
Yeah, there's like two Aegises.
Uh-huh.
And then there's the missing third Aegis.
Yeah.
That's Arlen or Arvin or whoever.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Secretly. And he shows up as like a villain, I think.
And why is Shulk there?
Yeah, hold up. Let me just show it to you.
I don't think showing it's going to help me.
You might understand.
The problem with Xenoblade.
It's supposedly. I read a whole. Jesus Christ.
It's Hero.
There's Adult Rex.
That's Adult Rex.
And then this is like
Arlong. Sephiroth.
It looks like Sephiroth. But I read a whole long Twitter thread about how this is like the most insane fucking. Like insane story moment in the modern era.
Dude, I have a problem where I definitely played the Xenoblade games.
Mm-hmm. Don't remember shit.
Damn.
I thought you'd be into this.
Like I bet I could hop in like 30 minutes and just watch it. Like, here's everything you need to know before playing Xenoblade Chronicle 3.
Volume 3 pass.
Yeah. And it would be great. But unfortunately, that just does not sit in my brain. It is gone.
Yeah. Okay. So. Fair enough.
But it looks exciting.
Yeah, it's like a whole Avengers moment.
Yeah, good on the JRPG boys.
Yeah, anyway. Then they announced Samba de Amigo Party Central.
Hold up. Whoa. Nobody said anything about this.
It's just a maraca game.
Yeah, but it's got Samba de Amigo.
Yeah, it's a maraca rhythm game.
Yeah, on the it's Switch, the monkey, you know? Bro.
Yeah. They announced that. Comes out in the summer.
I'm kind of high.
Then they showed off Fashion Dreamer. It's exactly what you think it is.
Oh, okay.
Then Dead Cells Return to Castlevania. You got to see a lot more of it. And then it comes out March 6th.
Okay.
Which is dope.
Cool.
For $10. Tron Identity. A new Tron game. April.
Are we hype?
No.
Damn.
Ghost Trick Phantom Detective. This was on Guess Capcom. The Game the other day.
Really?
Yeah. You don't do them?
Hmm?
I still do them every day.
No.
I'm still in that shit. I have not missed
it. No, I do it when someone posts. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I remember
this. Nah, I've done them all. Yeah, Ghost Trick was in there the other day. This is like a remaster or something. Everyone was like really hyped about this. I don't know. Newly announced remaster of the 2010 or 2011 in North America DS game. Deca Police. This just looked like some anime shit, man. You know how it goes. Bayonetta. No. Oh,
okay.
No. Bayonetta Origins. Okay. Cerveza and the Lost Demon. Anyway, Splatoon 3 expansion pass wave. It's called the Side Order. Actually, take a look at this. There's like, I don't know what they're doing here. I don't want you to see the whole time. It's like, oh look, here's all the new stuff.
And then
there's like fucking.
Is it the blob?
There's like this thing at the end where everything is made out of paper and there's no ink. And there's like these weird subliminal images. Called the Side Order.
Well, that's pretty cool.
And I thought that was fun. But I don't know what that means.
Exciting.
Anyway. Disney Illusion Island. This is like a Mickey Mouse platformer.
Yeah.
You know how it goes.
Yeah, I do.
Fire Emblem Expansion Pass Wave 2, 3, and 4.
We already had Wave 1. Didn't the game come out like last month?
Yeah, the DLC Wave 1 came out like 2 weeks after the game. That's why it had everyone up in a tizzy. Because they were like, fuck, was this in a game?
Yeah, that dude...
Anyway, Hector and Saren and Camilla and Veronica and Crom and Robin. And something called the Fell Xenologue.
You know, I don't think a company has ever so swiftly...
Oh, actually, Wave 2 is already out. Sorry.
I don't think a company has ever so swiftly pulled me in and then immediately disengaged me.
Then Fire Emblem, Three Houses?
Because Three Houses is like, this is a game.
Yeah.
And then immediately did not care about Fire Emblem.
Yeah, I don't know. It's all weird stuff, man. Mm-hmm. Harmony, The Fall of Reverie.
Just three words.
This is Don't Nod's new game. I think it's one of those like narrative games. Yeah, one of these here narrative games. You're doing some pointing and some clicking. And...
Interesting.
I don't know, man. Octopath Traveler 2.
Mm-hmm.
They dropped a demo that day.
Cool.
We Love Katamari Reroll plus Royal Reverie. Just another Katamari remake, which is interesting.
Why won't they?
Comes out February 20th trial from February 20th to 26th and drops on June 2nd.
They just need to make a new one.
Sea of Stars, the long-awaited RPG from the team behind The Messenger, is coming out August 29th everywhere, which is dope, because The Messenger was a good game.
Messenger was great.
This looks cool. Omega Strikers, online multiplayer. It's on iOS, so you probably know what this means. It looks like it's one of these games with the disc. The disc-throwing games.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. Etrian Odyssey Origins Collection, the remaster of the first three entries of the Etrian Odyssey. June 1st, man.
I can't explain it, but I'm in my AAA era right now. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Advance Wars 1 plus 2 Reboot Camp coming out April 21st. That's dope. Shout out to Ukraine. Kirby Return to Dream Land Deluxe. There's a new remaster of a Kirby game with like some extra stuff onto it.
Cool.
Where you get to play as the villain.
Now.
Then Game Boy games on the Switch Online. So Game Boy games are coming to Nintendo Switch Online starting that day. The launch lineup includes Tetris, Super Mario Land 2 through 2 and 6 Golden Coins, The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening DX, Gargoyle's Quest, Game & Watch Gallery 3, Alone in the Dark, The New Nightmare, Metroid 2, Return of Samus, Wario Land 3, and Kirby's Dream Land. Players can use Game Boy, Game Boy Pocket, or Game Boy... They just put Game Boy Pocket twice. Or Game Boy Pocket filters. More games are coming in the future, including The Legend of Zelda. I gotta unbutton, bro. I'm getting a little bloated.
Is the bomb me? Oh.
Damn. Just had dinner right before this, you know, a little bloated. More games are coming in the future, including Oracle of Ages, Oracle of Seasons, Pokemon Trading Card Game, and Kirby Tilt and Tumble.
That is cool.
That is cool.
This is what we've been wanting.
I'll play the trading card game for 10 minutes.
Yeah. It's gonna feel... I think I'm more interested with it because of like the
in old era.
The meta videos we've watched.
Yeah. I got the 2-player cube that's all base set.
I didn't realize it was all base set.
Yep. Well, it's not all base. It's like all base set and Ditto Prism Star. That's it.
That seems fair.
Yeah. Game Boy Advance games on Nintendo Switch Online. Game Boy Advance titles are coming to Nintendo Switch Online Expansion Pass. The other one's just regular online. This one's with the Expansion Pass. Starting today, the launch games include Super Mario Advance 4, Super Mario Bros. 3. That's one game name. Yeah, that's how they did it back in the day. They did Super Mario Advance 1, 2, 3, and 4. So it was like Super Mario Advance 1, Super Mario Bros. And it was like Super Mario Advance 2, Yoshi's Island. And then Super Mario Bros. Advance 3 was like Super Mario World. And then Super Mario Advance 4 was Super Mario Bros. 3. It was like a whole thing.
I do recall.
Yeah. WarioWare Mega Micro Games, Kurakura Korean, which is some weird fucking line game. I don't know. Mario Kart Super Circuit, Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga, which I actually kind of want to play.
I want to play that too.
That was when I missed it. Everyone says like, this is the sauce. Cap. And then the Minish Cap. And then more titles like Metroid Fusion, Kirby and the Amazing Mirror, Fire Emblem, F-Zero, Maximum Velocity, and Golden Sun are coming in the future. Metroid Fusion and Kirby and the Amazing Mirror are fucking huge dubs.
Yeah.
Those games slap. I think I have them physically in the other room. Oh, I fucked up. And then Metroid Prime Remaster Shadow dropped with the $40 price tag. Physical version comes out on the 22nd. I want to play this.
I do too.
Yeah.
Deep
in another game right now.
I really, yeah.
If I wasn't, I would have bought this.
I think I need to wait 2 weeks before I consider doing anything else.
Yeah, true. Master Detective Archives Rain Code. This detective game got a new trailer explaining its mechanics. I can't even remember it, gonna be honest. Mm-hmm. Bet and Kaitos 1 and 2 HD Remaster. More anime stuff. Fantasy Life, The Girl Who Steals Time.
Fantasy Life.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then they tease the new Professor Layton called The Professor Layton and the New World of Steam. So a new entry of Professor Layton's coming in the future, which is dope. Because that's cool. I like Professor Layton.
Yeah, Professor Layton's a good game.
Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Wave 4 DLC showed off that Birdo is getting added as a character, so opening up a new avenue of DLC stuff coming.
This just pisses me off. You could have been adding characters in each one.
I know, that's what I'm saying. And then a new original Yoshi's Island kart map. But we didn't get to see the other 7 maps. But there is a Yoshi's Island kart map coming.
Sweet.
Which looked pretty fucking dope. And then we got to see some other stuff like Minecraft Legends, Blanc, Mega Man Battle Network, Legacy Collections, Have a Nice Death, WBSE Baseball, Power Pros, Disney Dreamlight Valley, and Tales of Symphonia Remastered. And then you get to see more of Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom with a story trailer that was pretty good, but it's still very cryptic.
Yeah.
And no delay for that, which people were thinking might happen.
No reason to delay it, bro. The game's been done for 3 years.
Probably.
I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I'm curious on what's going on in that game.
It's, I don't know.
Yeah, and that game's going to be $70.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist. That is, I don't want to use the word stupid. Because
it's absurd.
It is, it's weird to think, for me, it's weird to think about how expensive video games used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Comparatively.
Yeah.
Like, looking at Atari prices
mm-hmm.
and the games for the Atari, video games were incredibly expensive. And then inflation happened, but it didn't really happen to video games as bad. And now it's starting to like happen.
Yeah.
So it's like, is 70 the price we should be paying?
Yeah. I don't know. It hurts.
Or it hurts, you know.
Nintendo did come out and say that they're doing it game by game basis. And whatever they feel like you should pay 70 for is what you're going to pay 70 for.
So am I supposed to think that, like, oh, if I'm paying $70, I'm getting a better game now these days?
No. Absolutely fucking not. You know that's not. Pikmin's gonna be $60, but like Mario and Zelda are gonna be 70 schmackers.
What's gonna piss me off is when Pokemon games
become 70. Oh, those are definitely gonna be $70.
They're both gonna be like.
But the quality gonna remain
identical. It's gonna be 70 and 70.
Yeah.
Because here's the deal. You're really running me for 120.
Yeah.
I know what it is. I'm not gonna hide. I know it. I'm coughing it up. $120.
They're running you for 140 now, bro.
I hate it.
Yeah. I'm sorry, dog.
Never mind. I will not
cut. And then as a result of all of that, the Zelda OLED thing was kind of confirmed because the leak pictures, you know, were worried to be fake, but they had like symbols that were not previously seen in any marketing that were shown in the now announced Zelda Collector's Edition bundle, like specific, like some sort of glyphs. Symbol. Yeah. So that's pretty much confirmed. Weird that they also didn't just say pre-order the collection edition for this much. And also, if you don't have a console, you get this. Like,
yeah. Feels weird. When's it drop?
May 12th.
Maybe they have strict deadlines with these kind of things.
3 months.
Like our setups, because
less than 3 months.
I looked up the Pokemon one. It's 2 months out.
Yeah.
When they announced the OLED. Or 2.5, something like that. And I'm assuming they'll just do the same thing for this.
Yeah, but was that the same time that they opened pre-orders that they announced it?
Pre-orders for the actual game?
Yeah.
No, that was way earlier. Because with video games, they open pre-orders hella early. Like, as soon as the game gets announced,
you
can start pre-ordering at GameStop and stuff like that.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. It just feels weird. Feels weird to announce a collector's edition and not an OLED edition at the same time.
Maybe
it feels odd.
Well, I bet it's just because it's different things, right? Like, the team at Zelda probably got to design the collector's edition thing and probably have nothing to do with
the OLED. Yeah, you might
the production
right.
of that.
We'll see. We'll see. So that'll get confirmed. Probably, maybe. Who fucking knows? You know, where's Wind Waker HD and stuff? Yeah, it does look nice.
You're not getting it, right?
Yeah, no.
You're going to be paying $70 in 3 years.
Yeah, you're right. Which sucks. Welcome to the it sucks. And then more Nintendo news, because that's all the news this week. The Switch has become the third best-selling console of all time, which is a lot. It's
Imagine
officially
if they released games for it.
Its worldwide sales have topped 122.5 million.
Now,
Pokemon Scarlet and Violet has sold 20.6 million.
How much a Switch costs?
Yeah, that's a lot of dollars.
And it is a substantial amount of money.
Let's see, 122 million
times
300 smackers?
Yeah. 36 billion?
Yeah, that's a good amount.
I mean, obviously, they have to subtract a lot from that number of like cost of making the Switch.
And marketing and taxes. And
That's a lot of guap.
That is guap.
That's how much guap has been spent on Switches.
Yep.
That's crazy.
It's going to keep going, brother.
Yeah, it is.
It's going to get an uptick when Zelda drops. Especially if it drops OLED with it.
I don't know why. Yeah, I know I keep going back to this. But like, why do you not just release Odyssey 2? It just make more money. I'm just mad.
It's not coming, bro.
Because I have money to spend on Odyssey 2.
You know the next Mario game is going to be a new Super Mario Bros. Switch.
It's going to be Super Mario Maker 3.
Yeah, no, it's not. It'll be a 2D Mario, I bet, though. They'll sell better. They do, yeah. The 2D Marios notoriously sell much better than the 3D Marios, like, substantially.
What was the last 2D Mario?
It's been a while. Probably, like, New Super Mario Bros. U.
I think.
It's like U Deluxe.
That definitely didn't sell better than Odyssey.
Like,
I think something important to consider is when you think about 2D Marios, those are usually on the handheld consoles, which more people have.
Yeah.
Which, like, more people had a 3DS than a Wii U.
List of games with Mario in it, and then I'll scroll to the bottom.
Like, that's a very important stat.
These are not by year, dog? Oh, God.
Oh, God, no capital. Okay, so
Mario, actual Mario game. Not 3D World, bro. Super Mario Bros. 3D All-Stars? No. Jesus fucking Christ. New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe. Dropped on the Switch. That was the last Mario game. So, like, how much did that sell? New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe sales. New Super Mario Bros. 18.53 million units.
All right, now do 3D All-Stars.
Mario 3D All-Stars sales. 9 million.
That makes no sense.
The 2D Mario's always sell better. I think it's just because of accessibility and families. I think families are like, oh, well, I can play these with my you can't play 3D Mario Stars with your homies. But if you got two kids and a wife, you can play.
Only 18 people bought the deluxe version.
Yeah.
No way.
Nice, but it's also you got to keep in mind, Nintendo doesn't report digital sales, so these are all physical sales only.
Yeah, true, but you can't buy that digital anymore.
You can't buy this physical anymore either.
Yeah, I know. Go back.
This link right here? From Destructoid? What did it say? This is from 2 years ago.
Oh. I guess it's fair.
It was from this one.
Because hold on.
Not receptions.
Between both versions.
Oh, the Switch version sold 12.72.
Okay.
That's damn, that means the Wii U version sold like shit.
Yeah, it sold like 6 million.
But yeah, so it sold 3 million, almost 4 million more than the 3D All-Stars.
So you can assume that came out around the same time as Galaxy, right? Galaxy 2?
Like the regular one?
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. Galaxy 2.
So we'll say it was like 7 Mario. Million for the Wii U.
Yeah, Galaxy 2 sales. Come on, give me money. This might be before they report. This might be before.
No way.
There's no sales on this Wikipedia article. How many copies? Mario Galaxy 2 sales. Okay. 6.3 million copies as of 2011, which is well after the Wii's lifetime.
So about the same.
So 6.5 million. And then New Super Mario Bros. Sales, because that dropped on the same console. 30 million.
Yeah, they sell like an absurd. I thought it was just 18 million.
That was for the deluxe version.
No, that was for both versions.
Oh, no, that was for the Wii U version. This is the Wii game. Because remember, it was New Super Mario Bros. And then it was New Super Mario Bros. Whatever. And then it was New Super Mario Bros. U for the Wii U. And then...
I hate 2D Mario.
It sells like absurd.
I hate it. Bro.
It sells so much more. It sold 30 million copies.
They're just Wars games.
And then Galaxy sold... Like, it's fucking not even close. Like, 6 million to 30 million?
You like Mario? What if you can only move two directions? Like, who?
That's so crazy. That's so crazy. So this game came out in 2006, and then Mario Galaxy. When did that game drop?
2008?
2010. So this was 4 years later.
Well, it is in deep in the life cycle. I mean.
Yeah. Damn.
Where did this analysis get us? Nowhere. But yeah. Hopefully somebody learned something today.
The first day of release.
I learned.
So 143,000 on first day is bad in the modern era, going to be honest.
That's in Japan.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. So that's 800,000. You're right. Thank you. Here we go. Yeah, and as of April. Damn, that's not a lot, bro. I would have thought this. It took it 4 years to sell a million copies in the U.S.
Damn.
Yeah, that's not... No wonder they didn't make a third one. Damn, that hurts. That hurts.
They're good games.
They are. They're good.
They're great.
What was Mario Odyssey sales? Did we look at those?
Great. Fantastic. The best of the best.
23 million. So, like, this one is actually... Mm-hmm. This one actually sold. Yep. Let's look at 3D versus 2D Mario sales. Is that a thing I'm going to be able to find?
Well, the thing is, I think there's an argument of quality versus quantity.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like the 2D, there's way more 2D games.
Yeah.
Than there is 3D games. Oh my God.
This isn't what I'm looking for.
What is that?
Here's a look at how the 3D games in the Super Mario series have sold on the N64 to the Wii U. So the highest is a little over 12 million with Mario Galaxy 1. Damn, how did 2 sell so much less? Game banks. Sunshine, Super Mario 64. And then 2D Mario sales is just, it's in a different fucking tier. Mm-hmm. Except for New Super Mario Bros. U and Super Mario Bros. 2. Just fucking way higher. 40 million?
Yeah. I concede.
Damn.
People don't know how to spend money.
I didn't want to be right. I wanted to be wrong.
I know.
Like, I wanted to be incorrect.
We're getting another 2D Mario game. I hate it.
Yeah, Odyssey is just not coming. There's no Odyssey 2 for you, brother. I'm sorry, dog. Anyway.
I'm not a Nintendo fan until that happens.
You're a liar.
I'm strictly a Pokemon fan.
That's the
I'm
same.
I'm drawing the line.
That's one
sand.
Third of the same.
Nope.
That's one third
Pokemon,
of the same.
Its own company.
Sure.
Half owned by Game Freak. I'm a Game Freak fan.
So like one third of one half?
What's the game called? Little Town Hero?
Little Town Hero. You
that's
ain't.
That's my jam.
No, sorry. Anyway, a little bit of housekeeping for you before we get into the other stuff. If you enjoy the show, you should consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/syncedup, where for $1 you can get access to our lovely Discord, or for we're about to be $1 as well, you can get access to post shows of the shows that we do and many more goodies, all from youtube.com/syncedup podcast and podcasting services around the globe. New episodes of this show specifically go up in all of those feeds Tuesdays usually, but this week Wednesdays, 7 a.m. Central Time Zone gang. Also, we just ranked and reviewed The Wind Rises over on the Filmcast, so you should jump over and look at that in the Filmcast feed. It's about to very soon start popping up in the regular podcast feed because, you know, there's some there's a transitionary period happening right now, and they charge us a lot of money to keep open that other audio feed. So that audio feed is going to disappear, and the Filmcasts will be immortalized on YouTube. But going forward for the audio feed, they'll be in the regular Synced Up podcast feed. So the regular Synced Up podcast feed is going to be doubled up week to week until mid-April when we finally finish our transition into the new era of our content.
Yes, sir.
Now let's get into it.
Yeah.
Hogwarts Legacy, you've been playing it.
Yes.
And she's a goober.
It is better than I thought.
Yeah, me too.
I thought I had some qualms going in. I said I thought this game might be content light, and I don't think it might be as fun as I think to cast spells constantly.
Yeah.
But they found a way to make casting spells over and over.
It feels good.
Feel good.
It's like the cycle. The lift, the pull,
yeah,
the blast, the drop to the ground, just throw some fire.
I will say I liked it less when you were playing.
Why?
Because you're playing on normal.
Oh, sure. So like I'm having to think a lot harder.
You're like having a fight.
Yeah,
I'm like,
you're just murdering, which is how I played God of War, where I was like, I just want to feel like a god.
Yeah, I'm casting spells.
But I don't know. I wanted to play this one on normal.
I want
the slight challenge.
I think easy is probably the best move then.
Yeah.
Because I'm on story.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how much of a handicap it was.
Yeah.
Because I like.
You get the auto skip.
Do you know how you get the yellow when they're about to attack?
Mm-hmm.
I get the yellow and then a thing on the screen that says press Y and a 3-second timer.
On normal, I got that for the first 2 or 3, yeah, and then it was gone.
Yeah, nah.
It's
been there.
That's
bro.
So funny, bro.
And I don't.
So you just don't get hit?
No.
You don't need to be crafting no Wiggin Weld potions?
Nah.
I'm out here in the potions. Bro. I've used so many.
I'm just cooking because I like to cook. You know? Sell my product. That's what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah. It's a good game, though.
It is fun.
It's a fun open world game, I think. They really, if we're talking about just the Hogwarts part, not the rest of the world, just the Hogwarts part, they really capture that magic there.
Mm-hmm.
With running around Hogwarts, you know, for book fans running into Peeves and running into those guys, or, you know, even for the movie fans seeing iconic locations like the bridge, you know what I mean? Like all those iconic places, you get to see the Beast Hut where Hagrid usually is at. And it's not identical, but they do a good job. It's down the hill.
I mean, to be
it's
fair,
right there.
It's how far, it's, what's the time period we're in right now?
We're like 300 years because
it's
100 years before Dumbledore was born. So,
yeah,
which was a good 100 years before Harry Potter, a little more than 100 years before regular Harry Potter. So we're a couple hundred years back.
Yeah, it's a ways back. And that's pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it's a Hogwarts game, not a Harry Potter game.
Yeah, which works super good.
And it's so good, dude.
I love the castle.
I think it becomes a different game. When I looked at your map versus my map.
Yeah.
Because my map is Hogwarts, Hogsmeade.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it right now.
Yeah.
There's the forest, the Forbidden Forest.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at yours, you finished whatever you're doing in that dungeon, and you open the map, and I was like, oh my god.
Yeah. No,
that's intimidating.
There's a lot. Like, outside of the world, it is kind of sparse on the outside of the world. It's kind of split between, like, different areas with some stuff in between.
Yeah.
So, like, once you get into that open world stuff, it starts to feel more formulaic and kind of like... Oh, man, game design has become so fucking
dull.
Go
do these three dungeons.
Yeah,
and you
can
check off this list, and then you can go do the main story again.
Yeah, yeah. It's not the best, but, like, the characters are fun. The combat is fun. The flying feels great. I mean, you haven't got to the flying yet.
It looked goofy.
Yeah, no, the flying feels, like, exactly how you would think it would feel watching those movies, watching them flying around. Like, it feels super good. the like being able to transmog anything off the like is really, really good. There's like a few quality of life things that
there
we talk about.
There is.
Like wishing when I switched gear, because obviously you constantly get gear that's better than what you got.
You,
if
need,
you kept your transmog.
You need an appearance tab and a gear tab where I can I always want to look like this. Mm-hmm. And my gear can change constantly.
Yeah, instead of changing the appearance of every specific piece. Because then as soon as you switch to a new helmet or a new hat, you have to immediately go back into the transmog menu and scroll through.
So watching this Double Fine documentary, there's a lot of game development stuff that I'm like learning.
Yeah.
I don't know shit.
Of course.
But there's interesting things where I'm like, they played this game a lot, and why did nobody think...
This is kind of annoying. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, how does that get through the cracks?
Or, you know, it probably didn't get through the cracks, and it just got to a point where they're like, okay, that's low priority. We got to work on this, 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 and this.
Yeah, probably.
And it probably just got sent down a list and down a list and down a list and down a list.
That's fair.
Because, you know, bureaucracy and stuff when it comes, especially those big games. A team like Double Fine, you know, they're working on a different type of time.
Yeah, they talked about how Double Fine, like, your artists and designers and programmers are all in the same building.
Yeah, that's
and
not
like
the case.
Other companies, no.
Yeah.
Your artists don't even see your level designers.
Yeah.
They
like
don't even know
300 of you and 5 different floors.
All in different buildings.
Yeah. Yeah, so... but that being said, I think my favorite part of it is Hogwarts itself.
It's just Hogwarts.
Running around Hogwarts, grabbing the little pages to do your field guide, solving the little miniature puzzles. They feel like Korok seeds from Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
They feel like they did in the Lego games. Where all those little Lego things, you would do like something and it would give you a small reward that wasn't like huge, but you'd be like, ah, that's cool. Like you'll solve a little door riddle. There's like 3 major secrets, quote unquote, in Hogwarts that are like bigger puzzles that involve like, oh, the clock tower and the bridge and yada, 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 that you'll eventually unlock the spells to interact with. But you'll unlock a new spell and then you'll run around the castle and you'll find like, you know, 10 new things that you can interact with, like little statues that if you cast Levioso on, will give you a little page, or little braziers that now that you have the fire spell, you can cast it on that and get a new page. And so you're constantly just running around the castle doing stuff. And so I think the castle feels perfect. Hogsmeade feels great, like a little thing.
Yeah.
You don't get the bloat until you're out past that, but it will take you so long to get out past that. And that being said, it's more of my, you know, boredom of modern day game design and less of a problem with the game itself. You know, it's you've had it before, but the magic of the Harry Potter world, makes you look past that so easily.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, oh, it's so cool that I'm fucking a hippogriff just landed in front of me.
Is the story good?
So far where I'm at, like, I don't know. I couldn't even tell you what's going on.
All right. Cause I'm at that. I haven't even took flying class.
Yeah.
So you're ways ahead of me.
Yeah.
But I
couldn't tell you what's going on.
I feel like the story is just okay.
Yeah.
Here's a reason the story gave me a reason to go to this cave.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm not feeling this story yet. And
yeah.
I'm hoping at the end there's a good story.
I don't think so. Cause a lot of the reviews I read seem to think the story is just okay.
I want a good story.
So do I, but I don't know. The world's fun. The puzzles are fun.
Yeah.
I like going around the rumor requirement. It feels like fucking Clash of Clans. You're in there. You're like building your little thing. You plant your little plants. So like these will be done in 30 minutes. Like it's just so good.
Yeah.
I've been in there. You got to collect like some sort of resource from the world to be able to build like more and more stuff. But I've been in there building like my little thing out. And then the reason I say it's like Clash of Clans is because you can build like automatic things that automatically generate that resource and automatically generate you other things.
And you gotta stop by to get your stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but I like it. I don't know. I'm a big fan of it.
Cool.
I like the game.
It is a fun game.
That's all I've been playing. I haven't played shit else.
Yeah, me neither. But
cool.
I have been very in deep in the Double Fine documentary.
Yes, you
which
had.
I don't know who tweeted it. Someone.
There's a chance. I think they posted it in the Discord.
And
I heard it from the MinMax show.
And it has been, I'm on episode 26 of 32, like 40 minute episodes.
Yeah, there's it's like something like 21 hours, 22 hours long.
It's long.
Mm-hmm.
But it is one of the best documentaries I've watched. Not necessarily because it's the highest quality or it's like, you know, a very in-depth mystery.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I've never gotten to see game development at this scale.
Did you watch the God of War documentary?
Nope.
You should go back and watch that as you play the game.
I might.
It's definitely worth it. It's like only an hour.
Is it?
It's more of an actual documentary that you would see on Netflix.
Yeah, and I feel like that is cool, but not what this is.
No, it's not the same.
Where like, this is like,
it's
nitty-gritty. Now I've...
You're the minutia.
I'm following these stories of not just the game, but these specific developers in the studio.
Inside baseball?
Yeah.
What is made? What's the...
How the sausage gets made?
Is it how the sausage gets made?
Yeah. No, but there's very cool things that I think even you would appreciate. Like the most recent episode I watched
was their document, like their story of E3 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And how
the that announcement is of them getting, scenes,
them getting acquired by Microsoft, what E3 looked like mm-hmm. for them, which is something I've never gotten to see.
Won't
see again because E3's dead.
Yeah.
And it's all like, I know I'm coming up on that COVID episodes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like everybody's blissfully unaware of this pandemic that's about to happen.
It's about to happen, yeah.
And there's just a lot of cool stuff. Them talking about like in 2017, like or 2018, like, yeah, we're looking at our options. Microsoft's, you know, putting out offers. Mm-hmm. They want to work on this thing. Game Pass. It's like their Netflix, you know? Yeah,
I seen them. I heard about them, like, pitching to publishers, and they're like, Annapurna passes on. It's like, Annapurna passed on it, and Activision passed on it.
Well, they had Starbreeze, is who their publisher was. Starbreeze,
yeah.
And then Starbreeze.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's very interesting watching this story of game development. And I want to go back and watch their one for Broken Age.
Mm-hmm.
You
ever watch the NoClip documentaries?
NoClip documentary.
Danny O'Dwyer, NoClip. NoClip? This might be a channel you should.
This sounds familiar.
NoClip. 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 They do these like the inside story of how Hyper Light Drifter became an open world game.
Mm-hmm.
30-year history of Crystal Dynamics documentary.
Just video game.
The making of Rogue Legacy 2.
I'm probably gonna be in a rabbit hole of like game dev.
Doom 2016 development diaries, just like all kinds of stuff. Like this is the kind of videos they, the making of Among Us, the documentary. Yeah. Like they always do these type of like what you're saying, like super inside baseball. Mm-hmm.
But
videos.
It's just so cool watching this game that you love come together.
They did one because
like
Wilds
there was
banged.
They did a game jam,
mm-hmm.
and one of the guys behind the camera of the documentary submits an idea for the game jam. His idea gets picked to be one of the games they make for the game jam for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
2 years later, they're looking for an idea for Compton Bull's mind, his brain level.
Yeah.
And it was the one, it was a level, the cooking show level in Second
Unseen. Yeah.
We had to do a bunch of cooking stuff. And that whole level is based off a game idea that some guy behind the documentary pitched and sold to Tim Schafer.
That's how Fortnite came about. It was a game jam. Yeah.
That's crazy. Like it's just cool watching those things happen. Like that's just ideas just come from anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Jack Black heavy episode where they show like Tim Schafer going to go record Jack Black and getting him to do all the lines for Helmet.
That's so fun.
And that's so cool watching Jack Black do his thing.
I forgot he was in that.
But There's even moments of Elijah Woods also in it too. I never realized Elijah Woods was in.
Yeah, me neither. I know he's been in more games recently, but
There was even moments where I'm like, I'm learning things about being a leader,
like
about leading a team. And there's like quotes where I'm like, damn, that means something. And at work today, I was like, you know, I want to kind of carry that with me at work. It's so stupid, but I'm like, I'm really appreciating the things I'm learning from this documentary.
Yeah, 6,000 hours of footage.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. It's really good. I highly recommend for anyone who's interested in seeing how a smaller game studio makes it work.
That's cool.
It's very interesting. I love it. I recommend. I wish there was a bridge version of it because it's a big commitment.
It's a lot. Yeah, sure.
But, yeah, very good.
Yeah.
I think that's all I got.
Cool. That's all I got.
Well.
Somebody woke up at the perfect time. Our producer was sleeping.
It's all right.
Our producer was taking a nap.
Just in time.
Anyway, thank you guys for watching or listening to this episode of the Synced Up Podcast. We're going to do the post show for everybody that supports us at the current $5 tier. We'll see you guys in a few minutes. Everybody else, we will see you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.